Paul. The other is St. Peter. These two men are considered so instrumental in Christianity that they share a feast day on the church calendar in June, June 29th. St. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom and the authority, and the founding of the church was on him. Matthew 16, commit that to memory. That's where you find that in the Bible. And then St. Paul, who was a Jew and a Pharisee, converted in Acts chapter 9, commit that to memory, and became the apostle to the Gentiles, so to speak, and was responsible for the spreading of Christianity throughout the known world. So the authority of the church rests in St. Peter, our first pope, and the missionary nature of the church rests in St. Paul. And we're going to be looking at St. Paul. You may remember that at the end of last year, at the end of Acts, we find that St. Paul is in captivity, basically. He's under house arrest in Rome, awaiting a trial. And Acts chapter 28 ends right there with Paul under house arrest. He and St. Peter ended up finally in Rome being martyred. St. Paul was beheaded, and by the Emperor Nero. So St. Peter's bones are under St. Peter's Basilica. St. Paul's bones are under St. Paul outside the walls, if you've been to Rome and seen that church. I have not seen that church yet, but hope to soon. So both were instrumental, and both were part of the church's founding and the church's growth from Rome forward. But we're going to get a little bit of insight into St. Paul in particular with these three letters that he wrote, scholars believe, from his period of captivity. So we left him in Acts chapter 8. We're going to pick up with what he was doing while he was under house arrest. He was very productive. They think that he wrote probably four of his letters that are included in the New Testament from this period of captivity. Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, which are the three we're studying, and then possibly Ephesians also. A lot of the letter to the Ephesians is contained in the letter to the Colossians, so we'll have a good sense of the letter to the Ephesians after studying Colossians, but we're going to get this glimpse into St. Paul's mindset and ideas, and in a way, we're looking at someone else's mail, if you think about it. He did not intend for us to see this. He wrote his letter to the Philippians in Philippi, in what is now modern Greece. He wrote to the people in Turkey that were in a town called Colossae. And then he wrote to an individual named Philemon, never thinking that his letters would survive 2,000 years later and be part of our Bible. But the Catholic bishops, in their wisdom, saw that these writings were inspired, felt like it was appropriate to read them in mass, and canonized them into the Bible about 1,600 years ago. So we're looking at St. Paul's letters to other people, but we're going to realize that we're going to get a lot from them ourselves. Everything he told them 2,000 years ago, those things are still applicable to us today. And, over the course of this study, you all may be picking up on this. Sometimes we do a study where we focus on maybe the idea about salvation history, and we look at Old Testament and New Testament, and we move back and forth like we did this past year. We looked at Isaiah, its fulfillment in Luke. We looked back at Isaiah, its fulfillment in Acts of the Apostles. We got a long view of salvation history last year. We did the same thing when we were in Genesis to Jesus. A long sort of view, Old Testament, New Testament. The Bible and the Virgin Mary was a little bit like that. Old Testament typology of Mary fulfilled in Mary in the New Testament. Then sometimes we focus. We focused on the Gospel of Mark several years ago and just read that Gospel. This is one of those times where we're just focusing. We're just focusing on these three very short letters that Paul has written. There won't be a lot of jumping back and forth. Sometimes there will be a reference to an Old Testament idea or scripture, but we're really staying in a couple of these letters for the whole fall, and they're very short. You may be recognizing on Sundays in Mass that we're reading from Romans right now. Well, I looked up the readings for the fall, and starting around the end of September through October, which almost coincides with our study, you'll be hearing from Philippians, from the letter to the Philippians in Mass on Sundays. And that's just a God thing. That is an ordained timing thing that I did not look at ahead of time. So that will be fun, to be in Mass on Sundays and hear some of the very passages that we're going to be studying this fall. So bring that to your group's attention and enjoy that. That connection with our faith on Sundays will be terrific. There are two ideas I would like you all as leaders to take with you from this fall. The first is, what is it like to be in captivity or to have your freedom limited? You know, sometimes I think we feel constrained, like God can't do anything with us when we're in a period of life where our freedom is limited. For example, sometimes our children need us more in certain phases more than others, and we feel sort of captive to their needs and their emotions. Sometimes we're in a volunteer job or a paid job that has run its course, and we feel captive to that because we don't know how to get out of it. Sometimes we're in a difficult marriage, and we don't know what to do. Sometimes we have a debilitating illness or a chronic illness that makes us feel captive to certain things. Well, St. Paul was captive. His freedom was limited, and yet God used him mightily in terms of letters that he wrote, people that came in to visit him. He was literally chained to a guard. This is alluded to in Acts 28, where it says that he was in chains, and I wanted you to see the actual chain that they have at St. Paul outside the walls that had Paul chained to the guard that he was chained to while he was under house arrest. Now, he was not in prison, but this is a chain that has been preserved through the church that St. Paul had when he was under house arrest during the period that we're studying. And it's a reminder that he was captive. His freedom was limited. But he was still very productive, and God still used him in lots of ways to bless others. And so as you're getting to know your group members, as you're getting to know people in study, as you're thinking about whatever stage of life you're in right now, and you're feeling like your freedom might be limited, or you might feel captive by something, let's all be encouraged by these letters that Paul wrote and by how productive and what a beacon he was for the gospel, even when he was literally fettered by a chain to a guard for a couple of years. So I thought this image was appropriate for that idea. Even Paul, who was in chains, was very productive, and God used him for a purpose. The other thing I want you to think about, in addition to the idea of being fruitful in captivity, the other idea is partnership. When we look at Philippians 1 next week, you're going to see that Paul, in partnership with Timothy, wrote the letter to the Philippians. We'll talk about that next week, how letter writing took place in the ancient world. But he also, in the first chapter of the letter, talks about his partnership with the Philippians in the gospel. And the Greek word that he uses there doesn't just mean fellowship or getting together. It's almost a business word. In other words, there's something to accomplish, and we are in partnership to accomplish this goal, the goal being spreading the gospel. So fellowship is terrific and very important, but partnership is a little different. And I want you all to think about our role and our Bible study this year with the overarching idea of partnership. We're here to accomplish something. We're partners with each other today to make this study happen and to bless 100 women in our community. You're partners with your small group leader or with your prayer team members or your hospitality team members to rely on each other to make certain things happen for the study. We are going to be partnering with a family in Houston that Stephen Linehan has connected us with, who has been flooded and lost everything. And we're so under our umbrella of Mercy Ministry, we're going to partner with them to help them get through this crisis. So partnership, beyond fellowship, if you see what I mean, is something where there's a goal and something to work towards. And we're going to see it and hear it all through Paul's letters, and we're going to live it in our study. So keep that in mind in terms of your role and the work that we have to do to help each other grow in faith and to help our group members grow in faith and grow in knowledge of Scripture and apply it to their lives. This is a partnership, and I think it's very fitting that Paul uses that term right at the beginning of his letter to the Philippians. So if you'll keep those two things in mind, that would be great. Are there any questions?